been a tough couple of years in a lot of ways, with challenges to our health, environment, world peace, and democracy. Our next guest says we're in the midst of another crisis that can make the other ones worse, a lack of empathy. How bad is it? How do we get here? And can we bring empathy back? You can join in at 800-642-1234. What does empathy mean or look like to you? Did you learn? Were you taught empathy as a child? How would you rate your own capacity to feel what others are feeling? Do you see us not taking other people's feelings and well-being into account these days? Why do you think that is? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@WPR.org. Mark Johnson covers science and health for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. His new novel out this year is called Though the Earth Gives Way. He recently wrote a feature piece for the Journal Sentinel on the empathy crisis. Mark, welcome back to the show.
Thanks so much for having me, Rob.
What led you to want to tackle empathy?
It's interesting you ask, because a lot of the interviews that I was doing during the last two years of the COVID pandemic, I noticed that a common thread was that after I'd finished asking my questions and we'd just sort of talk, a lot of people were mentioning that they were going through fundamental problems with empathy. They had been, oftentimes they raised examples where they were victims of it. Especially healthcare people found that their opinions, they would get threatening notes and things like that. I also had early in the pandemic witnessed something that really resonated with me. It stuck with me. I was at a supermarket and an older white customer approached a younger black cashier. The cashier was wearing a face mask, as we'd all been told to do at that point. And the customer started berating her for doing basically what we're supposed to be doing. He started saying that COVID was just the same as flu and quoting a bunch of, false statistics. And it struck me that not just having a different view, but that man didn't see that woman really as a person and didn't understand how difficult a job being a clerk is. You know, it's not something a lot of people would choose to do. I mean, I was a clerk for a convenience store in high school, and I know that it's not fun. It's a way to get a paycheck.
You also give examples of people at the worst times of their lives grieving and a lack of empathy, people being made fun of for wearing masks on their way to a funeral of someone who had died of COVID, or in some cases, people who hadn't been vaccinated, you know, people responding derisively to their passing. I mean, if any time we're going to have some empathy, it is in those moments. And you were hearing examples where that wasn't there.
Yeah, I mean, it really surprised me, because you would think that a collective crisis like the pandemic would bring people together. I mean, many of us remember how after the September 11th terrorist attacks, the U.S. was fairly united for at least a few weeks. There was a real feeling that something terrible had happened, but that we were in it together. And I think there was a rare sort of respect for people who have different ideas. I think what's happened with our polarization is that the two groups have come to view each other as less than human. And once you go down that road, it's a very dangerous path to go. I think that's, you know, what leads to situations like the war crimes we've had in, in the Ukraine. It's very dangerous when we look at each other and don't see another human being.
You set out to talk to a lot of different experts on empathy. And first of all, on kind of a basic level, what is our working definition here of what empathy is?
Mine is, I said, understanding and sharing the feelings of another. The first official definition that was offered, I kind of like it. It was feeling one's way into the experiences of another. sometimes people probably will have heard the expression walking in someone else's shoes. I think that's probably growing up what we hear and come to think of as empathy. And I don't think that's wrong. I think that's part of it. It's understanding, and actually it's having the will to understand too what things are like for someone else.
Talking to Mark Johnson, who covers science and health at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, looking at empathy, a crisis of empathy, according to some experts. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Did you see this decline in empathy that Mark is seeing? Do you think of yourself as an empathetic person? Did something help you have more empathy for other people in your life? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Mark, in talking to experts on empathy, did you hear concern from them? Did they see empathy kind of on the decline in recent years?
Oh, yes, definitely. And I think it was many of them found it very worrisome. I was really struck by one of the guys who studied empathy for 30 years, and he mentioned that we have a bigger problem. It's not just empathy for our fellow humans now, but it's empathy for our future selves. And what he was referring to was the problem of of climate change. And it was something I hadn't thought of at the time, but it makes a lot of sense. We have this problem now, actually feeling a responsibility for the kind of Earth that our own children are going to inherit. That's a major problem. I mean, if you think about it, one of the few things that conservatives and liberals agree on is that we all want a better world for our children. And climate change is this crucial area where that's fracturing. That one thing that we have in common, you know, wanting a better life for our children, and it's kind of extraordinary, I think.
One thing I learned, I can see where, okay, if I'm empathetic to the people around me, well, that's good for the people around me. But some of the people you talk to say, hold on, being empathetic is good for you and actually your health.
That's true. A couple of authors that have a book coming out in a few months had mentioned to me, they did searches of 250 scientific and medical studies. And basically, they looked at the question of serving others, which is kind of an offshoot of empathy. And they found that serving others is linked to longer life, fewer heart attacks and strokes, better sleep, better control of blood pressure, less inflammation, and less depression. I mean, you could hardly find something that's more in our interests, you know, to show.
Let's bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. Nathan is with us in Milwaukee. Nathan, hi.
Hello. I thought there was a great point about this understanding, but I think going further from that is that during the pandemic and like wearing masks and like not seeing each other as people, we've lost the respect that we attribute with empathy and understanding. Because it's one thing to like talk to someone and, you know, try and understand them, but you have to show respect for their point of view or whatever they're trying to go through. And I think like the whole othering of like us versus them, I think that kind of has shifted during the pandemic.
Nathan, thanks for that call. Really interesting. And that makes me think, Mark, of a quote. I pulled it from your article from a psychologist named Jamil Zaki about, you know, if we're interacting with people online more than in person, you know, in person, you might talk about the weather or basketball. I'm going to quote here, online, the first thing we encounter about a person is often the thing we'd like least about them, such as an ideology we despise. Can you talk about that a little?
Yeah, I think that's true. It's a slightly different example, but I myself had realized a few years ago, I almost got addicted to reading the comments after Journal Sentinel stories, after stories on by our political reporters. Part of it was because I felt very strongly, I have strong views myself, but I realized that I was reading these comments because in a strange way, because I knew that they would kind of revolt me and make me even more sort of steadfast in my own opinion. And I thought at a certain point, I came to see that it was really unhealthy overall. And it's interesting because the editor of the newspaper at the editors at the newspaper at some point made a key decision to turn off comments. And it was a very difficult decision to make. I mean, I've talked with them a little bit about it. And, you know, we want to be this sort of open forum for ideas. But the problem was people were abusing it. And you could even see it, like for an entire day, you would see the same names calling each other terrible things, you know, making just nasty remarks, personal remarks, and kind of, especially looking day after day, it was the same people getting angrier and angrier at each other. And it kind of worried me that, you know, at some point we're going to reach a stage where people might actually get so angry that they arrange to meet and, you know, harm one another, either get in a fight or kill each other.
We're talking to Mark Johnson, who covers science and health for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. We're talking about empathy, why we may not have enough of it these days. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you see empathy in crisis? Do we need more of it? What can we do to bring it back? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll continue the conversation coming up here on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Verrett. We continue our talk about empathy, why we have it, why we may have lost it, why it's good for us, and how we can hopefully get it back. Mark Johnson is with us from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He wrote a big piece about empathy. Find it at jsonline.com. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Mark, before we go back to our callers, can we bring empathy back? What did you hear from the experts you talked to?
Oh, I think so. I think one of the most encouraging aspects that I saw was a program that was developed by a researcher named Helen Reese at Mass General Hospital in Boston. And basically, she's worked with a few police departments, and she talks with them about what minority people that they approach or pull over may be thinking. And she gets them to talk about the things that upset them, the assumptions that people make. And one of the key things is they do an exercise where it's called facial recognition. And one of the things that's most difficult about being a police officer is that you have to be able to tell the difference between two very important and very different facial expressions, fear and anger. And you have very little time to do it, sometimes just fractions of a second. And what she would do was show the officers pictures and have them identify them. And what I found was really interesting was that I think it was a month after or so, there was a motor vehicle stop. Whole thing was recorded on the dashboard cam. And it was a white officer who was training another white officer and pulled over a black motorist. And initially the black motorist was upset and was shouting that, you know, you're pulling me over because I'm black. And the officer didn't sort of rise to the situation and start arguing with him. He took a very different approach and sort of listened. And I mean, he asked the man for his license and registration, but usually in situations like this, the volume and the tone escalates very, very quickly. In this case, it went the opposite way. He let the motorist talk until he'd said what he wanted to say. And he said, are you finished? You know, now I want to say a few things. And, you know, he said, I don't appreciate what you said about me because, you know, I was watching you, but it was in the, you know, it was at night. I can't see who's driving the car, whether they're black, white, or, you know, Hispanic, any ethnicity. all I knew was that you were driving 52 in a 30 miles per hour, you know, zone. And the two of them actually had, it was a fairly long conversation, about half an hour. And it was amazing because the motorist then, I think maybe an hour later, calls the police department. This was the Wellesley Police Department in Massachusetts, and leaves this great message about how, you know, he was really, he wanted to commend the officer for, you know, the way that he handled things, the way that he treated him, the fact that he was, that the officer was in a position of authority and was addressing somebody who was in a position of fear, who had had bad experiences with police. And I thought that it's just a one incident. It's like a microcosm of the whole problem, but it's very encouraging. I mean, if that can happen in one case, I think it can happen, you know, more broadly.
Let's go back to our callers now. Julie is with us in Menominee. Julie, hi.
Hello. What? Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, go ahead, Julie.
You know, I share the concern about the lack of empathy, and I see a lot of it. And I, a question that I have, or a thought that I have, is it really a change in the amount of empathy that a person has, or is it more a change in or sort of a permission that our society has granted people to lose their filter over the last many years?
Oh, interesting.
And not just the last administration, but I've been seeing it for a number of years, and really, you know, through politicians who would engage in bad behavior where they used to resign immediately, and all of a sudden refusing to resign. And,
I gotcha, Julie. Thanks. Is it just, are we less empathetic, or... I don't know. Are we just breaking the rules and getting away with it and realizing we can keep doing it, Mark?
Well, the thing that's interesting is that empathy, we're actually hardwired for it. I mean, we have parts of our brain that light up in situations that involve empathy. So what that says to me is that we have to do something that's maybe not unusual, but we have to actually suppress something that's a natural instinct. And one of the encouraging things is that we can be taught to become more empathetic. I think the caller makes an excellent point that we have been going down a road that's gotten worse and worse, and we've allowed what we call sort of discourse or conversations to really be actually fights and arguments rather than, you know, civil debates. I mean, if you think of what we see on YouTube or on the nightly news, it doesn't remotely pass for civil debate. It's kind of shameful. And I think if you have kids, you probably don't want them watching it.
Julie, thanks for that call. Go to Frank now with us in Door County. Hi, Frank.
Good evening. I'm calling as a Lutheran minister in Door County. I've just come from visiting some homebound seniors, and I'm preparing for Maundy Thursday worship, or Holy Thursday, as some would call it, when Jesus gave a commandment to love one another as I have loved you. You're called to love one another. I've lived through a pandemic, as all of us have, and seen how different people treat different people in authority concerning worship and when we will resume worship. I know of some clergy who were told in the midst of the worst of the pandemic, if you don't allow us to go back and worship, you can take a hike. Or, on the other hand, I have had a congregation for the most part that has been very understanding that we need to take care of the least of these. That least of these has been lost, I think, in our society as we talk about who is first. Jesus, on this night, washed his disciples' feet. Would we wash someone else's feet? Also, I was thinking about this in the context of America first, and you can extrapolate that every which way you want. America first, my county first, my township first, my family first, me first. And one loses all sense of empathy or loving one another as Jesus loved them, if one extrapolates that down, or at least, loses everything.
Frank, thanks so much for sharing your story and your experiences. Mark, just a minute or so left. Your thoughts, if you want to build on what Frank had to say.
I think Frank makes an excellent point. I've often thought about the, I'm going to get the words wrong, but the saying that whatsoever you do to the least of mine, you do unto me. And there seems to be a disconnect in some way between some of the people who are going to church and probably are good people at their heart, but seem to have forgotten, you know, this fundamental command that, you know, we're supposed to love one another. And a kind of a good example to me was that this guy out west in California was running these things called empathy tents, trying to have people who disagreed with one another talk. And there was a story written up about it. And in the comments about the story, basically a lot of people just made fun of empathy. Mm-hmm. They just sort of said, you know, show me the way to the suck up your feelings, mm-hmm. you know, tent.
And Mark, we'll have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us. That's Mark Johnson with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He wrote about an empathy crisis in our society and what we can do to end it.